nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is Tom Pounder and welcome to another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. This is where online and student ministers can get some practical tools and tips on how to do ministry more effectively. I'm working on a tagline to make that sound a little bit better, but yeah, it sounds, I think, pretty good so far. Today I've got a friend of mine, Dan Eno. He is the worship pastor and student pastor at our Linton Hall campus. Today we talk about student ministry worship and what's the important aspects of doing that and why you should be doing that in your ministry, and also some practical tools and tips of how you can start a group, what you're looking for and how to run that successfully. I actually had an experience in my past ministry experience of running a student ministry worship team that was student-led that ended up going down in flames really bad. And so we kind of talk about that as well. So I'm excited about this interview, so let's get started. All right, with me right now is Dan Eno. Dan, how are you doing today?
I am awake and I'm here.
You're here. You're always here. So you're always here when I get here. And so I always like that about you. You're one of the first people in here. And one of the last to leave, right? You're the first one in, last one.
No, that's not true. Okay. That's not true. I usually leave before everyone.
Okay, well, it's because you're the first one here always. But, hey, Dan is the Linton Hall, and correct me if I'm wrong on this official title, but the New Life Christian Church, the church I work at, or the Linton Hall campus. He is the worship director and student ministry director. Is that correct? Or is there more of an official title?
No, I think that's probably more official than I would normally call myself. But
okay.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Sure.
Yeah, well.
Sure. I'm a director. Sure.
Yeah, he runs the show on Sunday mornings for the main service. And he then also does a great job of leading up the student ministry at Linton Hall. He's really grown that over the past year. You've been on staff for over a year now, right?
Yes.
This wasn't one of the questions I was going to ask you, and that's the beauty of the podcast. I'll tell you questions I want to ask you, and then I throw in some random ones.
That's okay.
How have you found your first year of ministry, like, you know, being a full-time? You started off part-time, but then you went full-time. So how has that been?
I mean, I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a lot of work and a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that beforehand I didn't particularly know to be prepared for. But, I mean, it's great work. I enjoy it, and
yeah,
glad to be here.
Well, I would agree with you on that, the behind-the-scenes stuff, because, again, I think a lot of people have a misconception here that they'll see you on Sunday morning leading the worship, mm-hmm. and they're like, all he does is worship. You know, how hard is that?
Right, how hard is that? But really, the amount of hours that go into that in advance is kind of, would probably surprise a lot of people.
Yes, I would agree. Well, and
same with students, obviously.
Yes, exactly, because you're not, I mean, you have a full-time position, but the two jobs that you hold are technically both a full-time position within itself, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, Linton Hall campus is still, I mean, it's growing and, you know, moving up, but we're still small enough to where I can balance the two responsibilities. I guess at some point down the road, I'll have to make the hard decision of which way I want to go once we get big enough that I can't handle both, but
yeah,
we'll get to that when we get to that.
We will definitely get to that at one point, definitely for sure. I have you on here today because I want to talk about student ministry in the worship component of student ministry.
Yeah.
Stan, I mean, not Stan. Well, Stan is, he's been on the podcast before, but he's also Dan's boss, and Stan and Dan, they sound familiar, so okay, whatever. But no, Dan does a great job of leading worship, both to adults and in particular students. You know, when he comes and leads the Chantilly campus, our student ministry in worship. It is phenomenal. I'm blown away every time because sometimes he comes in just as a one-man show. I mean, you play multiple instruments. He's got the drum kick and the guitar going, and heck, you might even have the harmonica sometimes. I mean, do you know how to play a harmonica?
I have been known to use a harmonica.
Okay, yes. See, well, I want to ask you some student ministry worship questions, and in the sense of, you know, what is it that you are trying to create when you're doing student ministry worship? What is the environment that you're trying to set for that extended period of time?
Well, first off, obviously, worship is important, both for adults and for students. I wouldn't say more for students, but especially with students in a highly developmental stage of life. I think worship can be a really integral part of developing in their faith. How I tend to look at it is preaching or giving lessons and using your words. Your words might make someone think, but music has the power to make people feel. And not that one is better than the other, or one is more significant to a person's development than the other, but I think it's important not to neglect worship, because if you're just talking through the Bible and sharing lessons and getting kids thinking, that's good. But as far as deepening that understanding, you got to get into the feel, and that's, I think, one way that worship can be really effective. My general strategy with worship is just to be authentic and energetic, but that is doubly or triply important with students.
You speak to the energy part of it, because I've had worship people before who come up and be very monotone and very the leadest in worship, and the music is good, but the energy isn't there. Can you speak to the importance of energy with students?
Yeah. Well, for me, it comes back again to feeling. And if I am not, I mean, I can worship without singing. I can worship without, I personally can worship internally, but that's not going to help lead other people in worship. And that is part of leading worship, is communicating to the people that you're trying to lead, just how it is you're feeling and what you are experiencing too. And especially with students, they need to see that. They won't always follow that maybe right away. They might sit and watch and just listen. And sometimes that makes it hard when you're, you know, up in front of a group of students and you're going at 110% trying to you know, lead people with everything you got, and they're just kind of standing there watching you, and that can throw you a little bit sometimes. But I firmly believe that you know, they're watching, they're listening, they're processing internally, seeking to understand, you know, why is this guy so passionate about this song about God? And I think that can lead to a lot of internal processing and development. And then, of course, you've always got the kids who have come to church for a long time and they're singing, so that helps too.
Yeah.
It is helpful, obviously, when some people are singing. But yeah, energy and communicating energy, I think, is particularly important, because just of what worship is. And if worship is really, you know, communicating to God and giving him glory and praise, and if they don't see that as something interesting or something, you know, worth doing, something that is impactful, you know, why are they going to want to participate in it themselves if it's not, you know, if it's not something that actually means anything?
Well, I would agree with you on that in the sense that, too, like, you know, I've helped out with children's ministry, adult ministry, and student ministry over my career. And children's ministry, there's a lot of energy, I think, in the singing the songs. And, of course, they're definitely more playful. They're more, like, excited. Ah, it's easier to get them excited, you know, doing the hand motions and all that kind of stuff. But when they get into that tween and teenage years, they go through a change. They go through a change. And if you come across it very boring, I think music plays a huge role in them concerning whether or not church is boring or not, whether or not church is acceptable or not. And if you have a worship that is just very monotone and mellow, again, as important as those times are and those elements are within the context of worship, I think you want to have some mellow songs in there. But if you don't come across with higher energy, at least to start, I think we're going to communicate a gospel that is not exciting. Communicate a church or a ministry that is kind of boring and it may rub kids the wrong way. Have you found that to be true in your experience?
Yeah. I don't know if in experience if I have any stories off the top of my head, but I think that's definitely true, what you're saying about worship being kind of a make or break, you know, piece of church for students because, you know, like I said, words might make you think, music makes you feel, and if they're not, pardon the pun, if they're not feeling it, why are they gonna listen and want to think about it?
Right, and that's the thing, I think you and I are both communicating the same thing of, worship is a vital component of the overall experience that kids are going to... Listen, if your worship is awesome and kicks butt, which it does, and my teaching stinks and bores kids to death, I mean, they may go off and listen to Christian music radio every now and then, but they're definitely not coming back to church because then they're going to, again, say church is boring. And again, Young Life has this great thing, and I've probably said it before in this podcast, about, you know, it's a sin to bore the kids with the gospel. And again, I think it's a sin to bore kids in general. Again, we're not about entertainment based, but if you have a worship that is dull and boring, it's gonna deter kids, and then we're like, this really isn't for me.
And I think with students, particularly, for a number of reasons, authenticity is key, largely because at a big group or at a home group or wherever you want to, you know, have worship, it's probably not going to be like here on Sunday mornings. There's a nice big stage. There's these cool, you know, lights flashing and projector screens and fog machines. And all those things can really contribute to the overall vibe and the overall feel. But it's when you're sitting in someone's basement, you know, at their house with the lights on and everyone's just kind of sitting there, and you're pulling out a guitar and trying to, you know, engage students in worship, you don't have the lights, you don't have the fog machines, you don't have the cool stuff that's really going to engage and in some level captivate the attention. And that's, I think, where authenticity becomes so important because, again, it shouldn't be boring and it shouldn't be, it definitely shouldn't be procedural or something. And I think that's when who you are as a leader and what you're communicating and how you're communicating what you're doing becomes really important. And again, in those situations, I'm not expecting maybe a whole lot of participation, but that doesn't mean that I can't be communicating a lot just through what I'm doing.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you on that. And again, like I've said, you do a great job with it. Okay, so let's get very practical here.
Yeah.
If you were to form a band, a student ministry band, what would be some of the things that you'd be looking for? If you could have a checklist of sorts, you know, like what instruments would you want to have included? How many people would you think would be good to start with? You know, what would you be looking for as you're starting a student ministry band?
Well, I think it kind of depends on your situation and where you're at. I would say, you know, you shouldn't just Like, if I say, oh, it'd be great to have, you know, at least three people in the band, and you don't have three people, that's no reason to not, have a student ministry band going. With students, there's different kinds of students. Some students need a push and need an invitation and need a challenge to participate. You might know of that student in group who plays guitar and is learning and is fun, but they've never expressed any interest in participating in a band. Definitely go ask, definitely talk to them, definitely encourage them, and then be feeding into them through that process to where they do own it. Yeah. And then there's other kids who just want to own it because, you know, they're more confident or they're more, you know, grounded in their faith maybe. I think with a student band especially, you have to be very intentional with your discipleship and discipling those kids because you don't ever want students in any context to feel used. Yep. And if you're asking kids to participate in the student bands and whatnot, and that's, you're not investing in them, you're not discipling them further through that opportunity, then I fear they're just going to end up feeling like, you know, they're just a drummer or they're just a guitarist or whatever. And you're there to serve and disciple them as much as you are the rest of the people. So discipleship is big, and there's all kinds of opportunities through rehearsal and, you know, other meetings and stuff. I can't say that there's any formula for what instruments you should have or shouldn't have, or,
What would you say to the youth pastor like me, who has no musical bones or body, you know, no musical inclination whatsoever? I am terrible. I stink at singing. I stink at playing. Yeah. what would you tell that youth pastor? Because seriously, I used to, when I did middle school only ministry, we wouldn't do worship because I couldn't play and, you know, whatnot. And so I did community events. I did like mixers and things that would build community, but it still didn't do quite the same thing as worship could do. What would you say to that guy about starting a youth band and the importance of that and maybe even how to get one started?
I would say, first off, if you aren't a great singer, Tom, then probably find someone else to sing. Yeah. Just because one of, at least at New Life, one of our strategies is always to decrease the distractions. Okay. And if...
So if my voice is terrible, it could be a big distraction.
If you're not a great singer and you're the one up in front of the microphone, you might be hurting more than you're helping.
Okay, good.
So I would say, talk to either the actual worship guy at your church or find a young adult or a college age kid, you know, someone that the students would look up to and want to engage with, and ask them for help. I mean, you can coordinate everything on your own, but I fear that if you try to lead when you're not equipped to lead, that might fail. And then if you try to give over too much responsibility, at least too soon, I mean, eventually kids will develop and take enough ownership in something like a student band to where, you know, there's mature leaders even in the group of students. But especially if you're starting it off, I wouldn't put all the responsibility on the students and say, okay, I have no musical talent, so I'm counting on all you high schoolers to, you know, go for it. I would say definitely get some help from someone with a little more musical talent, maybe.
Well, and who's an adult.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you on that one, because actually one of the biggest mistakes I made years ago was I wanted to get a student band, and I entrusted all the responsibility to a sophomore. And he started off really good, but then it got really bad. And I became disconnected from that. And we ended up having some real hard times with that particular band, where he stopped playing altogether and the band went kablooey. Mm. I mean, it was just a bad scene. So I would encourage you, if you're going to start a student ministry band, really have at least an adult leader point of contact who can oversee that if you're not directly overseeing it.
Right.
So, no, that's Agreed. Very good. So, well, good. Dan, this has been very helpful. It talks about the importance of worship and some practical tools that people can use to get a band started. Any other final parting shots of words of wisdom that you would encourage us with student ministry worship teams?
Well, for instance, not everyone has, like we already said, musical talent.
Yeah.
Maybe not everyone even has people that they can easily rely on for musical stuff. At Linton Hall campus on Sunday mornings, we have a middle school, like Sunday school class. But we don't even start that until basically when the sermon starts, because we say worship is important and we want you guys to be engaging and participating. So we do bring them in on Sunday morning to be part of the larger church worship. And I think that's a good idea because any opportunity you can have to engage students in worship is a good opportunity. Again, they might not sing. They might be, you know, fooling around and acting like, you know, middle schoolers like they tend to do. But that's an opportunity and that's a win. So, yeah, if nothing else, that's an opportunity right there, is just to make sure that your students are not off playing games or gallivanting around during worship, but they're actually in church service and participating in that.
See, that's a great... See, you threw me a curveball here because I didn't even think about that. But, you know, I've been a part of churches in the past where they will do... Their main youth time is during a church service, you know, during the time... What a great idea. If you don't have the ability to do worship on your own with your group, stick them in for worship in the big service. One, it gets them plugged into the big service mm-hmm. and gets them thinking that church isn't so bad after all. But then they get that worship, and then they go off and do their lesson and stuff.
Yep.
So that's actually a really good idea that I didn't even think about. So, see, that's why I brought you on here.
That's why. That's
so,
giving you ideas.
Well, Dan, I appreciate that, and so and I appreciate you coming on, and you did a good enough job where I think I'll try to have you back again.
Okay. It's one less bridge not burnt.
Good. That's good. And, yeah, so, all right, Dan, well, thank you very much for joining me. Well, there you have it, our interview about student ministry worship. And I just to reiterate, I do believe, even though I'm not musically gifted, if I could have done it all over again, I would have started and always had worship a part of my environment, or my youth environment, whether it was middle school or high school. And so I would really want to encourage you that if you can pull it off, find a way to make it happen. There really is just so much positive stuff that can happen through student ministry worship, whether it's adult-led and students are involved or if it's student-led. So I really want to encourage you to do that. If you have any questions about it, feel free to tweet me at YMSidekick, or you can even email me. I'll put my email address in the show notes that you can check it out. And also, I would love to hear about what you're doing, how you're running your student ministry worship, what works, what doesn't work. So again, you can tweet me or you can email me. I'd love to hear what you're doing that's making it very effective in your environment. All right, thanks for joining me today, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. I'd love for you to subscribe and stay tuned for every Wednesday as I release a new podcast about online and student ministry and being more effective in that. All right, have a great week, everyone.